download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
In your car, at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer, 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Lifted on by McDonald. It pops on out now for Simmons. Simmons can't get out with it. Still, it's broken along by Marchand. Lifted along by McDonald. They got it. It's back. It's around the front. Simmons scores! The Bruins have tied it. Bergeron with 3.8 to go!
I love Everett. I love Doc Emmerich.
Yeah.
Best in the business.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Very exciting. The Bruins going to the playoffs regardless, but a huge game tonight. You'll be able to hear it right here at 98.5 The Sports Hub if you don't want to deal with Ness and Plus and the idea that they can't get that together. But nonetheless, Billy Jaffe works for Ness and as I realize.
Part of the coverage.
As part of the coverage.
Jaffe, why can't they get the Ness and Plus broadcast right?
I don't know.
It's like,
I mean, what do you want? You know, I have so much control over that. Are you talking about who's on it or who's not, or just?
It's like the sound is always messed up. Like the mics go in and out.
Random buttons get pressed, and camera angles are weird.
There's times where there will be like 3 minutes of gameplay, and you won't hear Jack and Brick the entire time. It'll just be the sounds of skates. Like just put a microphone in there, and then every once in a while, all of a sudden, you'll see like a studio shot of what's going on with the Red Sox. It'll be like Tom Caron sitting there with Jim Rice in studio just shuffling papers, and then it'll go right back to the broadcast. It's very, very strange, and why they can't figure this out, I don't know.
So don't swear.
I didn't know anything about it. It's first I've heard of it, so I think that you guys should talk with them and see what they can figure out.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll be on Nesson in summer. No, I don't want that either. All right, so Billy, I hear it was your birthday yesterday.
You heard correct, and you came back just for my birthday the day after the show. Thank you very much for coming back.
Are you hungover? Did you go out there and shoot heroin or something?
Crazy. I mean, just nuts. I tried everything that I hadn't tried, which was everything, and I was going crazy. You know what I did yesterday, Freddie?
Yeah.
I sat at the airport for 3.5 hours, and I got into my car when my flight wasn't going to get out, and I drove to Secaucus. So if that isn't a perfect way to spend a birthday, I don't know what.
You drove to Secaucus from here?
Good God.
I did. My flight kept getting delayed. I was on an 8 a.m. It was almost 11 o'clock, and I weren't sure when it was going out yet, so I said, I can't take the chance. I was on the air at 4, so I got in my car, and I got here in about 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Jeez, man.
Thank God I don't have to do stuff like that. All right, Billy, we were talking about this. In the first round, who would you rather play, Toronto or Philadelphia?
Philly, I guess. Yeah, Philly. Philly's goaltending isn't set. They've had issues there. Philly has a dangerous couple of guys, like we saw on Sunday with Giroux and obviously Voracek. But the depth overall and the high end, you know, the depth throughout the lineup offensively is good for Philly. It's not as potent as Toronto, so I don't really fear anybody right now if I'm the Boston Bruins, but if you ask me to pick, I'd say Philadelphia.
Okay. How important is it to you that the Bruins finish in first place?
Not important.
Yep.
Not important at all. Not over the health of anybody on their team. Not if there's any mental anguish over it. They've obviously basically solidified the number two spot. I think they have because they have more points than Toronto could get. But to me, don't go crazy over the number one seed. It just doesn't. When it's all said and done, home ice is nice. It makes a difference for changes and stuff. But when it's all said and done, Freddie, I wouldn't go crazy over it.
All right. So, by the way, I agree with you. And Wallach said the opposite of everything
I did.
You said.
Correct.
But I was obviously correct. You said ask Jaffe, and I did. Now, now, Billy, and I'm being serious about this. How exactly do you rest guys? Do you just not play them? Do you limit their minutes? What do you do?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good question because, you know, one of the things that the Bruins have done well is they've managed their call-ups well. Like, if you notice, Colby Cave gets called up for this game from Providence. Whether he plays or not yet to be seen. They have a morning skate that will be coming up in a couple hours. But you have all these unlimited, you have these emergency recalls, which always means that there's somebody that is dinged up, hurt, whatever. But they also have a couple of, I think it's three or four other regular recalls to come up. So if the Bruins, hypothetically speak, lock in, let's say they win the night, and technically they don't lock in the number one, but basically they would then. You know what? They can call up a bunch of guys from Providence in the next few games and say, here you go, let's have them play out the stretch for us. And then you tell certain guys, you know, you tell players that have been working their asses off in a Bergeron. You tell a Krejci, you know, you tell these guys, we need you to sit one game. Now, Chara is going to want to play because he missed a couple of weeks. He's going to want to play, but you say to him, look, Z, we've got three games in 4 days. Maybe we sit you one, or, you know, we're just going to, you don't even tell him. He knows you're playing 17, 18 minutes instead of 22 minutes a game. But I think there's a few players ready that you actually just say to them, we're getting your rest. You're not going to play back-to-back over the weekend at home.
Okay, Billy, there was an announcement yesterday that Brad Marchand was fined $5,000, which is the maximum allowable under the CBA for that cross-check to Andrew McDonald's face. He took a stick and just jammed it right into his face. It wasn't during a play. It was afterwards. He had time to think about it. Do you think that Brad Marchand, by not being suspended, was getting the star treatment from the NHL in this case?
No. I don't think so. We've seen lately, especially, Rich, a lot of fines for flagrant fouls that don't require supplemental discipline. But under the terms of the CBA, and this is what it's all about, the league has a little bit of a hammer to say, you know what? What you did, we can't give you a game, but what you did was dumb enough that we can ding you $5,000 or $3,000 or whatever. You know, Brad got $5,000, but you can do up to $5,000. So I don't think he got star treatment. I mean, it wasn't a... I know what he was doing. He was frustrated. You know, McDonald had gotten him very little, and he didn't need to do it, but that wasn't supplementary, in my opinion, supplemental discipline worthy at all.
Okay, well, when you take a look at that that penalty, the one thing about Brad Marchand is that he's got this track record. So I guess, should we feel good as Bruins fans is that because of all the stuff he's done in his past, the NHL is essentially saying, well, maybe this is something that isn't going to immediately affect him. We're not going to. He's not in that category yet to where he immediately gets this harsh judgment because of what he's done in the past.
Oh, I'd say he's in that category.
Well, no, I mean, obviously not. Because, I mean, he...
No. This is a different type of infraction that he did. And while it does, especially in slow motion, it doesn't look good. And it's not, I'm not going to say it's stupid because it's not like I haven't hit somebody before somebody hasn't hit, you know, I've seen it. You know what I mean? I mean, with a cross check, it's situational, Rich. You can't say just because he did this, and this means that no matter what, if he walks the wrong way, he's going to get supplemental discipline by the league. If he does something that is marginally, you know, whether it's a low hit or an interference type hit, you know what I'm talking about, stuff like that, then there's not going to be any gray area there. This type of thing was a penalty. We're going to call it what we can call under the CBA, and we're going to get it, and that's it, and then we move on.
How tough is it to take that part? Because, I mean, the aggression from Brad Marchand is obviously what makes him so great. It's part of what makes him great. And I know that there has been talk about him trying to get certain dirtier aspects of his game away from his game, but that's backfired on him before. However, do you think that the part that isn't like a bang bang aggressive, you know, being a little overly aggressive during a play, the after the play stuff, don't you think that that's something he could indeed take away from his game and still be the same Brad Marchand on the ice?
Absolutely. But he's going to really have to want to. And he's going to have some thought process to it because in many ways, just like how when he gets the puck, Rich, in a real tight quarter and he dangles and maneuvers and you know, controls the puck and gets away from a behemoth defender, that's instinct to him. This is seemingly instinct to him, too. You know, he's responding to what he felt was an unnecessary play by Andrew McDonald, defenseman on the Flyers. You know, let's not get into a whole discussion. I mean, it really wasn't much, but Marchand's saying, look, he's not even thinking this. He's just done this in his entire career, both in juniors and in professional. I guarantee you he did it when he was playing minor hockey, too. He was the guy that was the little prick out there to really give him something to create some room for himself. Does he need to curtail it a bit? Yeah, he does. Sure, Rich. It would help him because it keeps him away from the crossing that line. I get what you're saying. But, you know, that type of thing, he's just doing because he's saying, look, don't do that to me again. And he's hoping that if that means that a player involved in a play instead of outside the play will give him an extra half a second to dangle with the puck, that's that end result right there.
And he's basically protecting himself in a way. You're in saying, way. Don't do this again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, we look forward to seeing you on Nesson Plus tonight. And so you got to come back from Secaucus today?
No, this is my last game that I'm off. I'm not on Nesson Plus tonight. I am on NHL Network tonight. But then back Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'll be back.
All right, Billy. Well, I hope you had a wonderful birthday driving to Secaucus. Now you have to drive back.
No, yes, that's the worst part. Driving here is not awful. Driving back is the worst part. But I'll give you a call, Fred. We'll talk for the 3.5 hours.
That's okay. Right. I'll help you kill time. I'll read you an audio book.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
See you later, guys.
See you, man. Bye-bye. By the way, enjoy food, football, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teambrady.com. Rich, we have something coming up involving Easter.
Yeah, this is, there's a part of Easter that's always a bad idea, and it backfired somewhere in America. We will get to that.
All right.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop, you're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny. You're on a roll, I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No.
Who don't drink in Oklahoma?
Your.
Who else in the local car say yeah?
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Sometimes we like to give you news stories from places that are not that great for the most part. And Rich, this one has to do with fabulous Easter.
Your kids do Easter egg hunts still?
Yes.
Okay. Are they ever a good idea? Have you ever, let me rephrase that. Have you ever been to an Easter egg hunt that didn't result in at least somebody crying?
My kids have never cried.
Okay, maybe not your kids.
I got to put mine in separate. We have to do eggs in separate rooms for my kids.
You put them inside?
One, yeah. We do them inside.
So you like you hide them in the house?
In the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in separate rooms because they'll beat the snot out of each
Correct.
Other.
Correct.
See, my kids have divvy it up. Like, if it's chocolate, my son will give it to my daughter, and if it's not chocolate, my daughter will give it to my son.
Have you ever gone to like the town Easter egg hunt?
Yep.
Where there's...
I have not.
Went to a friend's house.
Okay.
And went to a friend's house. They set, I want to say, 25 kids loose on their lawn. And it could not have gone worse.
Oh, so you've only gone to a 25 kidder?
Yeah, only a 25.
Did you hide
around the house?
Do you have, where do you hide the matzah on Passover?
You usually underneath a mattress and on top of the box spring. That's the go-to spot.
By the Playboys?
Right by the Playboys.
They're leather-bound. Because you're classy that way.
Yeah,
right.
There's the hiding of the matzah creates more
Afikoman,
problems.
Right?
Yeah, because there's 15 kids running around my house. That's a little bit more difficult.
Okay, so you've never been to one that like the town will do in the town square they rope it off and there's hundreds of kids.
No.
Dan, have you ever dealt with that before? Okay. So I have several times.
Like was a thing in Kennesaw?
Obviously when I was a kid, yes. And we would all tackle each other and it would always end in tears.
Yes.
But I've been to ones in Boston, like they'll go to one of the parks in Boston and they'll be,
right.
Oh, I'm not kidding you. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there'll be 200 kids out there. And they always try to say, all right, we're going to let the young kids go first, but it never happens that way. Everyone gets trampled. There's always kids crying. It's a horrible idea. Unless it's like several kids from the neighborhood, you might be fine. Anything more than 10 kids, it results in anger, tears. So let's go with this story. An Easter egg hunt started innocent enough with children ready to seek their plastic candy filled treasures, but quickly things turned violent, resulting in blood and arrests. Did this happen in Florida, Georgia, or Tennessee? Which armpit?
Oh boy, that's a handful. I'll just go Florida.
I'll say Tennessee to be different.
Oh, Johnny Wall game. Let's go
right by my parents' house.
Let's go to Memphis, shall we?
Far away.
All right. Which might be the anus of Tennessee. outside of Graceland and that Beale Street right there.
Yeah, I've never been there.
All right. Memphis is one of those places that you think, oh, wow, it's probably great because everyone says the barbecue is good. You go to Beale Street, which is like four blocks long. You go to Graceland and everything else, get out.
I know it costs about $5 billion to fly there, so I've never made it there. All right, here we go. From Memphis, Tennessee.
Fight over a golden egg during an Easter egg hunt landed one Memphis mother in jail. She's charged with attacking another parent with a hammer. Action News 5.
All right, why do you have a hammer at the Easter egg hunt?
why wouldn't you have a hammer at an Easter egg hunt?
I mean,
doesn't everybody?
I mean, you should immediately be arrested for just having a hammer. Just for walking around on Easter with a hammer.
It's an Easter hammer.
Well, no, it's not like
he is risen over my head.
They're pink.
It's not like you're doing construction on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, JC was a carpenter just to celebrate.
Hey, good point.
Well, that's the traditional thing, is that
it's to get the nails off of him. Right. You know, he's risen. Yeah. You know, it's, you got the hammer.
He is. He's got, you know, he's got like 10 fishes in one hand and a hammer in the other.
Sure.
With nails sticking out of the back.
Right.
Hunt landed one Memphis mother in jail. She's charged with attacking another parent with a hammer. Action News 5's Nick Kinney is last night with this story. Nick.
Yeah, hunting these eggs can get very competitive, especially when there's cash inside. But one peaceful Easter celebration.
Well, that is stupid. I mean,
that was the worst idea ever.
Why'd you put money in something?
Yeah, you had to do that.
And I bet it was a tremendous sum.
I think they say how much, but yes.
I'm sure it was life-changing amount of money in that golden egg.
You just do me a favor. Just Google, like, town Easter egg hunts. And there, I can't believe you haven't been to one that's like more than like 10 kids. Growing up, there was always these massive ones, and it's the kids are getting trampled, stepped on.
Trump hold one on the East Lawn?
Oh, it's great.
Did he?
The video's awesome because he's standing up on the balcony and he's talking to the crowd about like the military and military spending. And to his left is Melania, who looks very happy, of course. And to his right's the Easter Bunny. Like, just the photo's phenomenal.
Why is he up? Why is he not down in the lawn?
I don't know, but he's standing up there and he's talking and it's like he's looking down and it's
a photo shoot.
Sean Spicer used to be the Easter Bunny. He was like the White House Easter Bunny for a while.
I'm thinking under Trump it's full contact on the East Lawn.
It's great.
Yeah, but just it's a photo op.
So they're talking politics and the bunny's next to him.
I'm sure he eventually went down on the lawn, but I mean it's for a photo op. All right. So anyway, all right. I'm sure there's a grand sum of money in this golden egg carrying around a hammer.
Got very violent, very fast.
Yoo-hoo! I'm over here!
What the hell is that
That's
thing?
That's a talking Easter egg that they had out there. Which they have talking Easter eggs now.
Oh, and when did they kill you?
They murder you in your sleep.
Yeah. When does that egg turn into some kind of otherworldly creature and strangle you to death?
It was a family Easter egg hunt that turned into a free-for-all melee. Kirby Pearson's mother, Annette, is locked up at 201, charged with aggravated assault, accused of hitting a man in the head with a claw hammer.
He started cursing her. She started cursing him back. He done hauled off and smacked him. So she had one.
I like how the jail is called 201. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay.
I had 201. Like, they hear that term so much.
Yeah, that they understand. Just, 201.
I gotcha. Yep. Thanks for the 411. So, the best thing is that you not only hit the guy with a hammer, you hit him in the head with a hammer.
And with the claw end of it.
That's going all in.
Man. Well, that's killing someone.
I want to murder you.
Yeah, that's I'm gonna kill you. Someone who's completely out of control. Why should that person be let out of jail at any point? You're out of control. There's no stopping you.
You brought a hammer to an Easter egg hunt.
And you could have killed the guy. I mean, you could smash a guy's head in with one blow.
Maybe it was justified. We have not heard the reasoning yet.
So she went and got the hammer, and she came back, and she hit him and bust his head with it.
During the Easter egg hunt, police say the man accused Pearson of giving her young daughter too much help in finding the prize golden egg that had $7 inside.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I mean,
you're one-fourth away from getting another hammer.
That's right. You can almost pay for the hammer.
Well, yeah. Catch a couple of them eggs, you're paying another hammer. $7. There you go.
Jeez. $7? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Woo! Making it rain.
Yeah.
That had $7 inside. According to an affidavit of complaint, he slapped her twice, setting off an all-out brawl that ended with four staples in his head to close the gash caused by her swing of the claw hammer.
And I feel she had right.
Well, everyone's coming out glorious in this thing. So he slapped her around, and then she comes out with a hammer. For $7.
But I feel she had the right to defend herself, whether she hit him with a, you know, a 2x4 or anything.
Only Pearson faces charges.
That's Hacksaw Jim Duggan's wife.
Or anything.
Only Pearson faces charges. No one else got arrested, including the man who slapped her during an Easter egg hunt.
You think the whole thing got way out of hand or what?
Yeah.
Oh, you think?
It did.
Good question.
No one walked away a winner.
25, Nick Kenny, Action News 5.
You think things got out of hand? Nah.
No. It just ended with a blood, a hammer to the head.
Yeah, did that... What a question. You think things got out of hand? Nah.
No, not at all.
I guess you're praying for a no.
Everything was fine.
Yeah, I've never had any problems. And at the Easter egg.
Oh, I'm getting emails about there was apparently a big one in Fitchburg that went nuts. Helicopter dropped the eggs. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's really smart.
That just sounds like an all-around awful idea.
We just do it in our yard.
Oh, no.
I mean, our yard was a little sloppy.
I'm telling you, anyone that has more than 20 dirty. Kids, it's throwing bows, and there's tackling, and there's anger. I didn't realize that people were dropping eggs from a helicopter. I couldn't see how that could possibly turn into a melee.
Yeah, I didn't even know they do those. I didn't even know they do community ones. Newton, the golden egg, has trillions of dollars.
Sure. Well, it depends on what side you hold the hunt in, right?
Oh, if you on the good side,
the good side, I'm thinking trillions, and on the bad side, where Haggerty lives, apparently, it's like $5.
Yeah,
right.
Haggerty's got no business in that town. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we talk about?
An April Fool's joke from an NFL team completely backfires on them.
Indeed, I have read about that. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Not 8-5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
It was the slow jog heard round the world. Gordon Hayward, courtesy of the Players Tribune, put out a video yesterday of him at the Celtics practice facility, just trucking it out there, running, going for the gold.
He had to keep his feet in the circles of the court.
That's right. It's part of the training. Stay within the circles.
Once every 3 days.
He was standing next to the world's skinniest man.
What is his job? It's just to kind of...
Just being skinny.
Just run with me, Gordon. Well, everyone freaked out.
He probably keeps the pace, and I'm not lying. And then what? They switch what side of the cones he's on every single time down the floor, which I really cannot understand.
I'm betting he just runs back to get ready for the run forward through the circles.
No.
He switches sides.
No, he switches sides on the other side of cones, but they're straight lines. Like, what the hell is the difference?
Yeah, I don't know what the benefit
is. He doesn't want to be confused by running through the circles going one way. It's only supposed to happen the other way.
There's two dudes with iPads who are doing some sort of, like, analysis while he is doing this.
Boy, professional sports teams have a lot of money.
Yeah, well, listen, when you make an investment like they did with this guy, you are going to spare no expense to make sure you don't F this up. And that's why, thank goodness, there's Brad Stevens after this video came out. You know, even I was making fun of this yesterday. There's obviously, this means nothing. If you're jogging that slow, he's not cutting left and right on his ankle. But Brad Stevens, thank goodness, yesterday was able to kind of shoot down anyone's expectations.
I saw that video. It's pretty slow running.
Marathon's only 26.
I was up there watching it the other morning when they did that. The next step of his progression is once every 3 days he gets on the court and does that. So as you can see, it was about 20% speed, nothing lateral, no jumping. You know, so long, long way away.
Yeah. So, and then I think he ever clarified later on, just like, yeah, he's not returning. So there you go. It looks like if you want to get your hopes up, people saying, then why would he tweet out the video? I'm like, well, because he was paid to. Players Tribune obviously has some sort of deal with him where they will give him money for every video they put out there because they get hits. So Brad Stevens shooting that down. One thing, however, we do not know about tonight's game is whether or not they're going to have a point guard on the roster. Because we know that Shane Larkin, oh, I see Kyrie and Marcus Smart, they're not returning anytime soon. And then you've got Shane Larkin, who just got out of the hospital for flu-like symptoms, which apparently everyone's getting the flu. It's coming back. And he has been deemed out for tonight's game and I think the next one.
So he didn't travel and... Yeah. Stevens left open like a 5% possibility that Larkin will play. He's not playing.
Okay, so Rozier hurt himself the other night, hurt his ankle, and he is saying that he feels good. It has still not been announced whether he's going to play, but even if he does play, you got to have a backup point guard. I mean, Rozier obviously can't stay in the entire time, which means we're more than likely going to see, once again, point guard Jason Tatum to get a couple of reps.
But it goes back to the philosophy, and you see Al Horford dribble the ball. Al Horford brings a ball up the court. Jason Tatum brings a ball up the court. I mean, Jaylen Brown volunteered to do it yesterday in practice. He said he played point guard in college for a little while. It was 1 year at Cal. He played point guard. So, I mean, that's not going to be the problem, I don't think. Defensively might be a problem if you are out of point guards, handling the smaller, quicker, you know, guys from Milwaukee and more specifically Toronto, if you don't have those guys.
And what's funny is that despite all those injuries, since November, this was the best month of basketball, March, for the Celtics. Yeah. Statistically, they did better that month than any other month since November. And by the way, I was talking to Fred about this off the air. So there's a lot of talk right now about, now that the season's closing down, who should win MVP and blah, 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 blah. And I know LeBron James the other day said, well, it should be me. First of all, if it's not James Harden, it sure as hell shouldn't be LeBron James over Anthony Davis. Look at almost any statistic that you could put out there. Points, rebounds. Anthony Davis beats LeBron James in almost all of them, and LeBron has more talent on his team than LeBron, Anthony Davis does. Yeah,
LeBron is second in the NBA in assists, and that's kind of surprising, all things considered. If you haven't looked, he's averaging over 9 assists a game.
I heard he's a great passer.
And, well, no, the other part of it is if you look at his overall numbers, this is the best he's played in 5-6 years, and he's won MVPs with less.
And he's still not playing at Anthony Davis's level.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is his team isn't necessarily that good around him, and that will penalize him.
His team has Kevin Love on
that,
it.
Who is
on the Pelicans outside of Anthony Davis now that DeMarcus Cousins
is there? Anthony Davis is by himself.
He's by himself. Rondo might be the second best player on that team.
I haven't looked in a couple of weeks, but they were challenging for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and that
amazing.
In itself is ridiculous.
By himself, he's willed that team there by putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, James Harden has been, speaking of ridiculous.
Yeah, Harden's going to win. Houston has the best record. They're ahead of Golden State, and Harden's the best player on the team.
Rockets, by the way, took over the Vegas money.
Yeah, New Orleans fell apart. It's my mistake. New Orleans fell apart. They're in eighth place now with Denver one game behind.
Yeah, but eighth place means they probably lost three games because that's such a tight race between fourth and eighth there in the West.
They're two or three games behind San Antonio for fourth.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really a logjam when you take a look at it. So NFL teams, they're like, listen, social media, we love it. Let's get on to this whole April Fool's Day stuff. And the Jaguars ended up tweeting out a tweet that said, hey, reminder to update this copy before the April 19th jersey launch. Do not post. Uh-oh, you made a mistake. And it's a brand new uniform for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they posted it as a joke. They said, uh-oh, this wasn't supposed to go out until the end of the month.
They had red armbands on them.
Red armbands. And you know what happened? Almost all the Jaguars fans said, we like it.
Yeah.
This is a lot better than what we got now.
Yeah.
We're all in. And then, of course, the Jaguars had to go, April Fool's. And it was like, no, jackasses, we like this one better. This is a much better uniform than what Jacksonville already has with your teal or whatever color.
Well, that's the joke is that the joke is that they put out a perfectly normal uniform.
No, the joke was they thought people were going to go, oh, gross, what a horrible uniform. I can't believe this. And there was going to be a social media uproar. But instead, it was the opposite. Everyone was like, wow, that's actually pretty good.
And then I thought it was going to like mimic some fascist military organization.
What?
Like, hey, look at this.
Like a socialist type thing?
Well, no.
The sickle and the...
Yeah, that's right. And then so people would be like, no, this stinks. And they'd be like, April Fools. That's what I thought was going to happen.
We do not support communism.
Yeah, and then, well, then there's some explaining to do, and then you go on your way.
Yeah. Well, Rob Gronkowski is obviously a gentleman who has been in the news a lot lately, but one thing he has time for, and that is helping out those who need it. Now, there is a young lady who has been at Brigham and Women's Hospital for a while now, I think for 3 months. A fan of Rob Gronkowski's who's waiting a second heart transplant. Jeez, that sucks. And that's the thing, is that you can't leave the hospital when you're doing that. I mean, because anything could get you sick, and it's if you're in the state where you're waiting a transplant, I've seen this happen before, you have to basically be in airlock, and anyone can come in and get you sick, and everyone has to be sanitized when they come in. So she's been trapped for 3 months waiting for another heart, for a heart transplant. Well, she put out a video last week saying that the one thing that she wished was that she could see Rob Gronkowski at some point to help her announce it when she's getting her heart that's going to be able to put in. And Rob Gronkowski indeed showed up with his brother Gordy. And
I saw one that.
Okay.
So that was Gordy?
Yeah, that was Gordy.
Okay.
Yeah, Gordy is, we've had him in here a few times. He's a good guy. But
we've had Gordy in here?
Yeah, I think we've had every Gronkowski except for the young one that plays baseball. Gordy's been in here. Obviously, Chris has been in here.
Chris has been in here about a handful of times.
Yeah, Chris has been here a lot. But we have had Gordy in studio before. Dan has been in here before.
So memorable.
Wow. Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, you know, listen, when Gordy's in here with the, I mean, Gordy doesn't talk as much as Chris does. Chris will talk a ton.
Well, Chris is kind of the mouthpiece for the
non-Robs.
Yeah, the non-Eli and Peyton's.
Whatever that guy's name is. Patriot tight ends.
Right.
What's the name of the brother who's not a football player?
Cooper Manning.
Of the Coopers. He's the one.
So Rob Gronkowski showed up, and he was there for a good 45 minutes. Obviously, she was told ahead of time. Here is her talking to TMZ about what went down.
So I had a heads up that he was coming. The doctors came in, and they were like, you ready for a special visitor today? And so I had a little bit of time to, like, prep. I was really nervous, and as you know, I'm a cardiac patient. And with my health right now, I couldn't take, you know, just him walking through the door. But just sitting there, I had a stress ball that was actually what he actually spiked it for me. And I just kept gripping it the whole time because I was so nervous for him to come in. And then when he came in, I just screamed. He is honestly, like, so genuine and like so down to earth. I feel like I could hang out with him again.
And then she asked about the relationship with Bill Belichick and whether he was going to join the WWE. Or,
yeah, if he was going to wrestle.
So yeah,
that's crazy that they had to tell her he was coming in because her heart might not be able to take it if he just came in and surprised her.
It's that too. You also have to do a lot of preparation as far as germs and things are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is it's not just anyone can come walking in there. Like any kind of guest, you have to make sure. I mean, even with Mary, with like a stem cell transplant, but much less like an organ, that's got to be way, way, way technical. And just once again, they're an airlock. There's two doors for you to get in and out, and you can't open one without the other one because of the germs. So that's, I mean, obviously, hats off to Rob Gronkowski. That was a very, very cool thing. And I got to think being stuck in a hospital for 3 months long, just waiting for someone to give you a heart that matches has got to be, it can't be fun.
And hats off to Gordy for being there for some reason.
Hey, Gordy was there to take the pictures, I guess.
But, no, he was posing for pictures. Like, God bless the guy for going, but you would think he'd be more, like if I showed up at a hospital with Rob Gronkowski, you're right, I would take pictures, mm-hmm. and I would kind of stand in the background, but Gordy was on the bed. And
they roll deep, man. The Gronkowski brothers always roll deep.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that you were trapped, but you're not the attraction at that point. The attraction is Rob Gronkowski. All right, we'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way for you, and we'll finish things up here.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. And awaiting Zolak and Bertrand, if you want to hear the game against Tampa Bay tonight, they could semi-officially make the Bruins the points leader in the East. You can hear that the puck drops at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
They give you that extra half hour.
Right.
To get loose.
Oh, and all that fun on Nessun Plus, if for some reason you're doing it the other way.
Well, we learned from an anonymous source at Nessun that it's all automated.
No wonder, because I knew it.
That would account for a lot of the mistakes.
Fred, it's like all of a sudden they'll cut to a commercial in the middle of like the national anthem, and it'll be halfway through the commercial, and the commercial will play for 10 seconds, and then it will cut back to the national anthem, but it will just be Renee Rancourt standing there in silence with no sound, and then the sound will pop up, and then all of a sudden you'll see the beginning of the commercial, and then it will go back to Tom Caron sitting there shuffling paper, and then all of a sudden you just hear Jack and Brick talking to each
other. And it's not something, I mean, take into account how big this game is. It's not like the Nessun people can go in and change it. It requires, you rip out a production board and you put in a whole new system of doing things. You can't change it back.
Right.
So you're stuck with what you're stuck with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then it sounds like they're talking in telephones for a while.
Right. Right. I actually enjoy it. It's such a mess. See, the only problem is this is a game I'm obviously wildly interested in. This is like a regular season game. So do it with a crappy game, like maybe later on in the season when there's a conflict for the next, like next week when there's a couple. I wouldn't mind seeing that on Nessun Plus tonight. Don't screw it up.
I'm just thinking, what if there's a conflict between a Red Sox game and a Bruins playoff
game? They've done it before.
No, they all go.
A Bruins playoff game still goes on Nessun Plus.
No, playoffs, I think, are Nessun. I think the playoffs are Nessun.
No, you're right. Every time they're in the playoffs, it goes on Nessun.
I'm pretty sure you're right about that.
Yeah, that's always the case, because it would be insane if it didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be people that get Nessun but don't get Nessun Plus, I would imagine.
Otherwise, Red Sox ownership, because they own the station, will always have the Red Sox on first.
Right, except if it's a playoff game.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the blowback to that would be such that you couldn't deal with it.
Yep.
So
get ready for that. Tons of excitement tonight.
Yeah, you can look at how it looks like a UHF channel from back in the day.
Sure.
Enjoy all of that. As the puck drops at 7:30, I would imagine that pregame starts at 7 o'clock.
Correct. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers.
As they call that. Well, good for Zolak for coming in. There he is. He's going to go in the bathroom because he couldn't have waited.
He's got a little turtle situation, I guess.
That could be.
Can't wait.
That could be.
Well,
we'll find out.
And here
shortly.
He comes out.
That was quick.
He went in there to put on headphones.
Really?
He came in. He went in there without headphones, and he came out with them on.
Did you just go to the bathroom to put your headphones on, Zolak?
It's my hair.
To fix your
hair. Oh, yeah, because he's going to be on the television.
That's right.
Were your effort by you to come in today? Thanks.
Yeah.
How was a long weekend?
Oh, it was crazy yesterday. I had so much fun. There's nothing like a Monday home.
No days off, Fred.
Yeah, that's not true in my case. 5 weeks off.
How many days do you have left? Like 17, 18?
Okay, I got. Let me just say something. You cannot talk about days off.
Why?
You cannot talk about days off.
Why?
You've never taken a day off before for being
You've
sick.
Never had a sick day on a Friday?
I break his balls.
All right. I'm just saying that Fred and
my kid was throwing up Saturday through Sunday night.
I wasn't throwing up.
Oh, you have stomach virus.
No, I was waking up in the middle of the night choking on my bile.
Your own.
On stomach bile. So, and it was.
Give it up, man.
Huh?
Stick the fingers down. Just go. Get it out.
Yeah.
Does that fix it? Did you just get everything out?
Yeah.
I can only imagine. I should have done that because it would have been very satisfactory. But that lasted until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I put my foot down. I thought I would just to get it up. It's just there's nothing worse than nausea, man.
Yeah. That heartburn lasted for until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, you missed it last week, Fred. I had a nice little vertigo situation.
Oh, boy, that's so scary.
I got up from a nap, and everything was spinning, and I went headfirst into my closet. Like that, and had a knot on my head.
Happened to me twice. Went home to Pittsburgh a long, long time ago. And about 3 years ago, I came up to the light at Boston College there.
Uh-huh.
And I swung my head to the left and came back, and it just spinning.
Yep.
I literally got out of the car on my hands and knees and threw up. Right there on the spot.
It's amazing how quickly you get sick.
I had to stay straight to come here, but I couldn't swing the head because the studio lights would just...
The first time I ever had a vertigo episode was... I sat up and it was the most violent it ever was. But my wife, I called her. I was like, I can't move. Mary, I can't move. I need you to come home and take me to the hospital. I literally can't move or I feel like I'm spinning. And so she got me, and she happened to get home right before rush hour. So we had to get on the highway to get to the hospital, and it was stop-and-go traffic.
Oh.
Every time she slightly
What's
touched that brake.
What's the name of the medicine for it? There's a medicine.
Well, I mean, it's called Antivert, but also Drama means kind of the same thing, but not as strong.
There's a prescription, yeah.
Yeah, well, Antivert was what they gave me.
Okay. Antivert is what my mother gave me on the boat that I was just on.
I think it's essentially the same thing as Drama means. Just Drama means not as
right.
Not as
this
strong.
Was prescription.
Did you go on a boat? Yeah.
When I was on that cruise.
Oh, how was? Did you dig it? It was good.
The Disney cruise?
Yeah.
I mean, there was
But you haven't done other ones.
No, no, I have. Okay. But not on a boat that small. I mean, that
Small.
Yeah, you felt it was the smallest one they have. I mean, it's huge, but it's not like a Royal Caribbean or something like that.
Those rock, man.
Yeah, the Royal Caribbean, I want to go on the super huge one.
Dude, I just see all the stuff with like the slides that go out over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's insane.
The one with the go-kart track on top and the whole back's dug out. You just see this big cave.
Yeah, and then like the middle's like a mall.
I want to go party there too.
But this one, real small, comparatively, like a third of that size.
The Royal Caribbean ads are fantastic.
Yeah, they make it seem. Could they make it seem like you're gonna be? There you go.
Is that the one with Shaq? The one with Shaq?
They just show the boats going in and out, and they got this drone flying all around it, and in. And just, I'm like, wow, look at all those colors.
And that's just the.
And they play boom, 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 boom.
They get you in the mood. All right, buddy, what do you got going on today?
Hardy's back today. He was out yesterday, so it's me, Bertrand, and Hardy. We did a little bit of everything.